I'm going to call the April 13th, 2015 meeting of the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee to order. Our first order of business is the 2016 budget review.
Everybody got their work paper?
Yep.
I don't.
Well, 14 pages.
Well, this is a workshop. We're just going a first blush at it. It's not like it's a published document.
These are drafts.
And we're all right. So we're going to use the same work paper as we did last year. And as it's shaping up right now, I've assigned a number so that you have a sense of the numbering sequence. The first page covers all of the articles. It presents you with the actuals of 13, the actuals of 14, the current 15 budget, and then the requests for 16. And it shows you what the delta of the change is from last year to this year. In some cases, like you'll see in the first grouping at the top, finance and administration, we had two articles last year, one for $5,000 and one for $314,000. They both happened to come during the special, but they're still part of that history. And so we have placeholders if there were articles in that budget group this year, and they're on. So three will be the reserve fund, which has historically been that number. Four will be the finance administration. Five will be the fire department, which is pretty much the way it ran
last year. Question, Mike, the reserve fund.
This is just the summary. I'll take each one in. As we drill in, we'll go over each one of these, okay?
Okay.
So just try to get you familiar with the format. Fire has two capital articles this year. They had three last year. They had one the year before. You can see those in their grouping. The water department, same thing. They have their operating budget, and they've asked for two articles this year, which is pretty standard for them. They generally tend to have two articles, or at least they have the last 4 years. Public Works. We have what I'm calling public buildings budget this year because it's encompassing two buildings now. And then last year we actually had two articles relating to this building. There's one this year, so there's a placeholder. And then our streetlights fall into Public Works as well, and it has its own article. Library comes in behind that. Principal and interest, debt and interest comes in next. Employee benefits fall in next. What we finance types call transfers and other type of activity that the district votes. And then last year we had a citizen petition article. We're likely not to have one, but in order to hit all the summary totals, I've got to put in the history and have placeholders in the 9 years. So as it sits right now with a lot of amendments to come, you have $6.6 million in front of you compared to just under 5 last year and just under 4 the year before and just under 3.4 the year before. So we're looking at spending in excess of 33% greater than last year's spending. And we'll talk about it. The second page I break is it gives you the other side. It takes the total appropriations and then it modifies the appropriations by things the district doesn't get to vote. For instance, we have to reserve what we call an overlay. It's reserved for abatements and exemptions. Sometimes we have granted exemptions and we don't have any overlays, so we have a small deficit or two to raise. So I'm budgeting level funding, basically, the overlay at $22,000 just to get something ringing into the model. So when we add in the odds and ends, the total appropriation we're going to be talking about setting a tax rate for is currently sitting at about $6.625 million. Also, what I do for you is I boil down how we pay for it. So as it sits right now, we'll skip over the levy for a second. Local revenue, there's nothing really spiking in local revenue, so I'm just level funding it at $175. That may change by next November. When we set the tax rate, we have to certify to the state what we actually collected in the prior fiscal year, and generally they don't let us estimate above what we actually banked last year. So we'll be right around $175. That won't change much. Water revenue, I'm just bumping it up $5,000. It's been gradually coming up. And I think we're safe there. And I keep track of free cash, both non-recurring and recurring, because I want to focus the non-recurring stuff where it's the more useful and wean the district off of recurring use of free cash and operating expenses. And we'll talk about that again. Other sources of funds we've been transferring for the post-employment benefit costs from the trust fund while we're funding the trust fund, we're also taking out of the trust fund. And then debt funding is just saying we're going to sell debt. We've got to deal with paying it tens of years ahead. So that's what really jives up the big spending leap. To the 34% is mainly tied around the fact that 2 years ago, the district voted no debt. 2 years ago, it voted $200,000 of debt. Last year voted $549,000 of debt, and this year it's being asked to vote $2.65 million of debt. So that's going up. So, and then I do a little summary analysis to show you the trending, and on the longer trend, spending is up about 15% over the 4 years. It's up about 23, almost 24% on the 3 year, and it's up about 25, 26, 27 actually on the 2 year. And also the levy, because that's the most important part of the job we're doing, setting a budget, is looking at what's going on with the levy. And on that page, it says total two-year levy at the bottom in black. First one should say one. So I fixed that in the next version. So as it sits the way we're going to talk this evening, we're looking at something on the magnitude of a 2.28% levy increase, which is very consistent with the expectations of the municipal world. As a point of information, the town, on average, almost to the digit, has been raising taxes 3% per year for the last 6, 7, 8 years. We're allowed to raise the last year's base 2.5%, but we're also allowed to adjust that base by taxation that wasn't in there last year, new growth taxes. So it's always more than 2.5% unless you don't spend as much as you're allowed to by law. So we're certainly trending in the levy side where you would want to be. Okay. Page 3 of 14. First page is the reserve fund. Now, the reserve fund is established under Mass General Law.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
It is in the care and custody of the executive body of the governing unit, in this case the Prudential Committee. It is bound by statute to be only used for what's considered extraordinary and unforeseen expenses. And what I've plugged into this model this year is a reduction down to $35,000 for you to contemplate. It has been traditionally $50,000. The year 13 was an extremely transitional year, and you were living out of that as you kind of healed problems that erupted during that period. The actual use last year was under 30. This year it's maybe 8 or 9. We'll probably have a little bit more. We had some winter issues here, but clearly nothing on the magnitude of 50. And so it's there at 35 as a placeholder. You can move it up or down at your leisure. So that's a decision note that you'll vote an article at your 2 weeks out meeting, and we'll plug a hard number in there. But that's one that you can play with. Next, page 4 of 14. As you know, the district has a bylaw that mandates the motion, and it requires that the motion include, in the bottom of each of these budget worksheets, you're going to see the motion framing itself up in a box. We have to vote labor and salaries, and that's voted as a separate appropriation. It's not fungible with the other appropriations. These are limiting votes that your district likes to vote upon its management team. So our labor and salaries is going to be broken out in the motion. Then maintenance is broken into operations and miscellaneous. And so we're going to see those framing in each article that you're going to take up and deliberate. In this case, this is sort of a catch-all department. We've got to address the elected officials. If you're not going to change the elected official's salary, which requires the setting of their salary, then that's pretty well locked in stone. That's the cost of 9 elected officials at $1,250 and 1 elected official at $250. The Treasury line is level funded.
Where are you on this page?
On
now?
The second line.
Okay.
And the clerk is level funded at the salary you've been paying that. There's enough in that level funding of the clerical position to be adequate. I think I show you her limit is 18 hours a week. She's currently at 2060. Start her at 20, give her 3% raise. So if you, I've taken the current and I've budgeted another 3 into the budget so that you can do what you want with that. And it's still under the 30, because of the 20 rather. At the time we plugged the 20 in, you didn't have an employee. All right, so everything up there is done. Everything's pretty straightforward in the expense group. The telephone has been boiled down to $71 a month. It should be okay. Payroll services, we've tested and checked that number. Legal, I've dropped it from $10 to $7,500. You can put anything you want in there. We haven't touched it this year. You had legal expenses for the purchase of the property, but that was separately budgeted and charged to that appropriation. So at the moment, you haven't spent any. I've just stuck $7,500 in the placeholder. If you want to change that, be happy to make the adjustment.
Mike, when we don't expend something that's been budgeted, what?
Closes to surplus, profitability. The next one, I sent you a email. I've got it plugged at $12,750. The auditors have given you, if you recall the night they were here, we asked them for a quote, and they've given you a one-year quote to do this year in fiscal 16 that we're budgeting for, or they've given you a three-year quote that would include the 16, 17, and 18 appropriations, which would be 15, 16, and 17 audit. And I think I brought a copy of their email.
I have it here, yeah.
Okay.
I was with.
So I think that they said if you're going to do the 1 year, I think they want $12,750. Okay. So it's budgeted at the single $12,750 rate. Mm-hmm. If you want to go and execute a 3 year agreement with them, they will charge you $12,250 next year. Go up to $12,750 in the trailing year, and then $13,500 for the third year. So the choice is yours. And we're plugged in at the 1 year. If we were going to go for the 2 year, we could take $500 out. That's marginal, you know. And so if you want to take a vote, probably put this on the agenda, since it's a procurement vote for your regular monthly meeting.
Okay.
And if you go for the 3 year, we can drop that down by $500 for that year. Okay? So that's a choice you have to come to conclusion on.
That would need to go out to bid, though, wouldn't it?
No.
No?
30B, Mass General Law Chapter 30B, has procurement requirements. Exempted professional fields are attorneys, CPAs, engineers, banking. So a board is allowed to hire the auditor that it feels comfortable with. The bottom line auditors aren't always the best, if you get my drift. As is bottom line lawyers. So lawyers are protected class as well. You can hire any lawyer you want.
Bottom line painting, too.
Yeah, right.
So enough on that. So no, it doesn't have to go out. The board can hire whomever it wants. And you can do it now because we're setting that budget up, or you can do it after the first year. Or you can go out to bid and see what's out there. There's nothing. Once you entered into the agreement with them, then you own the contract.
You're locked in, yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
We have some pretty lousy auditors in the past.
These guys do a decent job. They're one of several that are out there. We see them all. We work with them all. Treasury services, I bumped it up a little bit, but that one's still a misnomer. I know you're working on the bid, so we'll just let it hang there with a placeholder for the time being. Stenographer, we've been running some expenditures. I bumped it up to 100 a month. I think that's fair.
That's going to be more than enough, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Because somebody was, are you going to do the district meeting too?
I don't. That's done separately.
That's done separately.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if $100 a month for whatever you, I guess it was water. There were requests for other boards to record and log and post and so forth.
Right, but they both the other boards have clerical services available to them. We don't.
Okay. So if you're good with that, that's fine. The banking expenses, I bumped it up a little bit more. The disclosure, I'm carrying $1,500 for that. They serve as a paying agent. And then they've been surprising me with these little add-ons lately. I'll get you that disclosure document that we filed with the SEC.
Okay.
It's the night we completed the audit, the next morning, the auditor sent the bank the undraft audit. They added it to the report and shipped it to the SEC. So I haven't seen the final either, but I can track that down for you. Website, I level funded it, y'all. I remember last year you changed it. She gave you.
Yeah.
So it should be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be fine.
Banking, we're constantly getting retailed to death on banking. You can see what we paid in 14 versus what we budgeted. We've made some changes to cut costs, but I've bumped that up a little bit more. Legal advertising, you have two. You have the tax rate hearing and the ADM, I believe. That's what we've plugged in there. Postage is level funded. We seem to be doing okay. It was $650 last year and $553 the year before. Office supplies, we're trending downward. We did some extra. We got a printer this year. So I think we're okay at 15. And then the computer copy expenses, I've level funded that. Dues and memberships, I've level funded that. I've stuck placeholders in there. We can talk a little bit in general about insurance, but we'll go past that for a second. Unemployment has slacked off, and we paid about $2,500 this year, so we're carrying $12,500 based on what we saw the previous 2 years. Mm-hmm. But we're good to go, I think, at $5,000 for the time being. The payroll taxes, they've been growing as we add in. We're going to pick up probably a retro payment for the firefighters in 16 plus an adjustment payment. So all that hits my Medicare costs. And
yeah.
So I've bumped that up a little bit to cover some of even this what would have been normally in this year's budget. Employee assistance has been running the same. It's a contract price. We've left it alone. The town doesn't bump that charge for the services. They do our assessing, they do our tax collecting, and they charge us $6,800. I think it's $6,808, actually. Annual report, we've level funded. Election ballots, we've level funded. Election costs, we've level funded. That's the payroll cost, basically, for the warden and so forth. And then $50 for miscellaneous.
What's employee bonds? That's I know it's blank, but what is it?
It's a bond on the treasurer, but it's part of the regular liability coverage, so there's no funding for that. It's an old one that they had in there that we can probably delete out. We don't use that line anymore. So we rev up about just shy of 140 on the expense side, comes in at just under 175, which is where it was this year. Still moving deck chairs around, but I think we're okay. So we're basically looking at a third of a percentage point less for the department next year until we play around with that insurance. And we talk about fire and water, we'll talk about whether you want to move that or not. There's no articles for finance or admin or anything this year at this point in time. Where you'll see last year was the purchase of the building and not ownership of the building. So that was pretty straightforward. We'll button it up the night we come back around. If there's anything you have concerns about, just we'll flag them and we'll fix them.
Can I ask just one question? There's nothing in here for your computer support.
Yeah, it's in there. It's a computer copy expense, $7,000.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's the software license. That's in there.
Okay, all right.
I have one question back on the first page, the library services.
It would come into the budget.
It was to bump it up 90.
You don't have to ask me. We'll get to that when we get to the article. Everything that was on the front page you're going to see all by itself with lots of lines, okay? But you have to be careful about talking about that because you have a conflict of interest.
I asked
so are you on the library board?
No.
No.
And she's not. So you have to...
I just
just violated it.
Okay.
All right.
In my case, I went to the ethics board and said, you know, hey, I used to be on the board for X number of years.
Doesn't matter. You're fine. But if you're on the board, we're going to have to separate because you can't be advocating for...
I told Jenny to file it.
Okay.
But anyway, they came back and said, not a problem, just file a disclosure, which I have filed with the clerk.
Okay, so we're going to skip fire. That we'll come back to. And we're going to skip water. We'll come back to that. So that takes us to, actually, there's two pages of water. We're going to go out to page 9. 9 is this public building article that we talked about. Your custodial has been running and hot, and it will be hot, I think, again this year. So I think we have a small reserve fund transfer. So we calculated them with a small adjustment and brought it up to $3,500 to cover you. 12 months, that would be just under $300 a month for the custodial service. So that should hold you through next year, even if you do adjust the salary, which you did a little adjustment last year for the gentleman as well. Electricity, we've bumped it up. Rates are doing a little bit of this and that, but you also added air conditioning, so we have to compensate for that. If we can get a better number from the installer as to roughly what that might add, we can, you know, secure the number. But I think the number is adequate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Besides which, and as of July 1st, they expect the rate to go down.
That's right. But
it was adjusted up because of the shortage of gas.
I understand. I do it all the time, but... The bottom line is it's expected, but there's no guarantee.
Okay.
All right. And we're raising the consumption in this building, not lowering.
Okay.
Okay.
Hear you.
Water is 2 bills a year for the minimum, 36. We budget 75, so there's a big slush fund there. We're doing gas heat, and we've checked the utilization for the last several months, and we think the $5,500 that we're proposing in there will adequately cover the gas bill. The whole purpose of the conversion was to save money. It may be more savings than what we're showing, but at least we're bringing it down.
In the library, it went down by about half.
Okay.
And we went to gas.
Grounds we bumped up because 200 won't plow or shovel this place adequately. Never mind in a bad winter. So we brought that up. Phone seems okay at level funding. The alarm we bumped up just to cover any cost adjustment out into 16. It's been pretty flat for the past year or so. Building supplies, we spent 142 last year. We got 150, so I thought we'd bump it up. The use of the building is increasing. You're trying to stimulate it, so I think that that's fair. Level funded the custodial supplies. I've plugged a number in for insurance. It's almost 12% up. We'll talk about insurance in general. And then the miscellaneous is flat. So with a salary bump pushing 17 and about a 4.5 on operations, the 10,000 figure also includes coverage for the other building on High Street. So we're looking at a total budget increase on public buildings somewhere around 4.5% right now before any final changes.
Can I just let you know, I asked Gary about the maintenance cost for the system, and he said it'd probably be about $850 a year.
$850
yeah.
For the HVAC?
Right.
So you want to put that up?
Yeah, cause when we discussed it, we only...
So we'll go to $850 from the 6?
$6, yeah.
Okay. go to HVAC 850. Okay, that fixes. Whoops. 850. Okay. So now it's up about 5.36. No big deal. Okay, and then that you'll see the box again. The motion will be for the labor and salaries, the maintenance, the operations, the miscellaneous, et cetera. And there's one capital outlay article proposed for this budget, and that's going to be $30,000 to finish up the interior of this building.
Yep. Okay.
And you'll need to vote that as you put your warrant together on the night when we do this out in the regular meeting. So we have covered that. Next page is still DPW with the streetlights. The electricity is budgeted down. It was budgeted down this year because of the change to LEDs. It's budgeted down more because we're trending now. But we've got a budget of $900 a month, and we've been running about $815, so I think we're adequate there. And if the rates do turn as we go forward, we should be good through 16. The maintenance, we've gone to a $95 a month contract. And so when we put in that, we basically have $1,200. And then lights, budget about $700 to put up a light. So you already have the contract in place through the cooperative. Basically, if somebody comes and wants a light added here, there, or anywhere, you've got the capacity in this budget to add about two lights a year. And then the last line item, I think I pointed it out last year. I will point it out again. I don't believe we need $4,000 of insurance to insure streetlights in case they fall down and hit a moving target, because that's about what it is. You have general liability coverage. It's adequate. You've been, I don't know how many years you've done this, but in the last 10, you've spent $40,000 just to insure yourself in case a streetlight hurts somebody or some property. It's just beyond my...
You said that under the general liability policy we're covered?
Yeah. It's... Right. It's an additional insurance coverage specific to streetlights. It's a specialty market. It's bought and paid for. I believe the original theory was that it was a contractual requirement. I don't buy it in West Barnstable, and the streetlight people don't come and say we're going to disengage from you doing business with us because you don't have this specialty streetlight. And I can guarantee you I can go to Com and they don't have it, and I can go to Barnstable and they don't have it, and I can go to Hyannis and they don't have it. But it's there. It's your choice.
Yeah, can we recommend consider dropping it? I mean, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
And again, when we come back around, we'll vote these budgets tonight. We bring
when would be the time to make that decision?
Well, you can do it right now if you want. And if you want to cancel that coverage, I'll take the $4,000 out right now, and the template will be set to go.
Let's do it.
Do I hear a motion?
I would make a motion that we drop the insurance for the streetlights.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Good job. Next one is library.
So I have a request that was given from the library.
You can put it in. You can take the vote you want right now. The template's holding at a 2.5% increase. So you can put whatever number you want in there. It's your warrant.
So basically, the request from the library is to increase it from what was last year's?
Currently $18,450.
From $18,450 to $20,000.
So that's an 8.4% increase.
Yeah, that's a small amount, though.
You can do whatever you want. So you want $20,000 in there?
I would be in favor of that.
I wouldn't.
I can't vote.
You can't vote. No, you can't.
You should stay away. You should leave the room. just being in the room, you can influence. All right, so the two of you are going to have to come to some terms as to what you're going to put in.
So if we give the same raise as, same increase that we gave last year, they would get $18,910.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in round figures, it was at 249, whatever the number was.
Right, yeah.
18,910 is a 2.49, so it'd be slightly more than that, but, you know, we could do 18,925, and that takes it up to 2.57. So you're in that zone, 18,910,
18,915. What's your objection, Fran?
I think, you know, there are a lot of other increases that we're going to be having along, and I know everybody likes the library, and, you know, I like the library. I served on the board, but, you know, there are lots of other needs the district's going to have. We need fire trucks. We're going to need a huge new water tower. You know, I think to a certain extent, you know, I think, you know, more people who use the library could probably give more money to it as opposed to the taxpayers.
I look at the library as a community good. When we did the survey and we got the stakeholders in the town, and they consistently said that you know, they want the library to be a community place to meet, and it certainly is. Other than Freedom Hall, it's really the only other place in the community to meet. In addition, they've taken on a lot of, you know, additional responsibilities, like for Angel House, they bring the women, the homeless women in, and not only do they do things for the kids, but you know, they if a woman needs to generate a resume, they help out with that. There's other things that they're doing, so yeah, an outreach program for people that can't get out of the house to, so they can bring books back and forth. All of these things, you know, none of them add a great deal amount, but taken together, they add. You know, and I certainly appreciate your consideration to go up to 20. Although the percentage looks large, the dollar amount really is like $1,000 or $1,100.
Well, I mean, I'd be willing to go up to 19. But I think any more than that, you know, I think that might give the library unrealistic expectations for the future. Mm-hmm. So I'd be willing to bump that up to 19, but I think that's as high as I'd go.
I'll go along with that.
Is that a move, second, and voted?
Is there a motion?
Do we need a motion for this? Because this is the draft.
No, this is going to be the real one. So we're just going to re-ratify it. But if you're going to, the more you can knock out today, the less time you're going to take on the next one.
And why don't you make a motion for Anna?
I'll make a motion to increase the library disbursement for 2016 to $19,000.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
That one's changed. Now the next page, 12 or 14. I'm going to keep you at the top for the minute. Right. At the top part, you see that we have long-term, short-term, and you can see the trend. Fiscal 13, it was actually down 1% from the prior year. There was a small short-term interest expense, and basically the two top lines is the principal and interest of the already existing bond on, we'll call it Water Tank 1, if you will. That's been pretty flat across the years. You can see it's 105 a principal pay down every year. The interest goes down because you're paying interest only on the outstanding balance. And every time you pay a principal payment down, the next year the interest costs you less. We've been running notes now for a couple of years as these little $200,000, $300,000 projects have been getting voted. And some of them actually go back to 11 and 12. They were voted. They're just starting to hit the road with the rubber. So what we have in there is we have $268,000 in the 15 budget, and that's pretty much done. In the 16 budget, the 30-50, $100 is just for the abatement, the bottom number. I'm going to go up. So I've dropped that from 350 to 100 because we're really not doing much in the way of abatements, and we're not having anybody hit us for interest. But we have to have that little nominal amount just in case somebody does. The $3,050, just this week we sold $600,000 and change worth of notes. You signed them at your last meeting. That $600,000 and change is coming due next April, and it's going to cost $3,050 to pay the interest on the note we just sold. And what I have budgeted in that $160,200 is what I plan to write down next year at the anniversary date. And it's going to be three water notes and a pay down on the building on High Street. All right, so that budget is pretty much locked and loaded. There's not a lot of gimme in that. But what I want to show you down below is I've built this schedule, and what it shows you is by project what I think is going to happen in 17, 18, 19, and 20. So I'm giving you a four-year look forward with some assumptions. And as you can see, the current principal is on the tank. We've been carrying temporary debt for roads, which I'm assuming that what we're going to do is we're going to have a vote in this district meeting to do a water tank project. We'll do notes on that, and we'll eventually bond it, and we'll bond it more than likely during 17. We're certainly not going to bond it in 16 because we'll still be building it, and we won't bond it till we finish building it so we know what we spent. We'll just use notes. So I'm assuming a bond sale in 17, and I have a 105 existing and a 58,250. And even in 17, we'll sell it at the April date when our notes come due. What we usually do is bond to pay off all the notes. So we'll have temporary pay downs, short-term principal on the water security, which is just beginning, which is a vote that goes back a while ago. They're just starting to spend some money. The fire truck that is on this warrant, we'll start paying principal for in that year on a short-term basis. The water tank principal we'll borrow for the year, so we'll pay down 100. And then assuming interest rates are going to be fairly flat again another year, I've plugged in a reasonable interest rate. And then I've plugged in the cost of selling a bond into this particular budget. So what I'm trying to do is grow from my 330 this year to 430 next year, because in the year when we sell the bond and we have all the permanent debt loading on, I'm thinking you're going to be spending in excess of $500,000 just on fixed principal and interest, which will then curl down slightly to 496 and then curl down again to 482. But you're looking at the magnitude of $500,000 a year going forward. And what I want you to think about is as these debt votes keep coming, there is a time you have to pay it, and you can see these votes go back into district meetings of 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. What I also are showing you down below is that 14 debt was up 15%, 15 was up 16%, 16 is up 17%. I've pushed it harder next year to drive it up so that the jump doesn't go from the threes to the fives in the trailing year, and to get some of it paid down in the note world before it gets into the bond. And there's no guarantee any of this is going to happen as an absolute, but it gives you a visual. It also, at the very bottom, I want you to begin to focus on where your capital costs are being generated. Your general government, you can see, is going to start costing you about $30,000-$35,000, and that's mainly the building. Public safety is going to be in the 40s because we're just going to get that truck. I want to make sure I got that truck right. Because that truck, I can put it out for 15 years, or what did I do it? It's 16 years. Is it 16? No, the tank. The truck doesn't really matter, but the fact of the matter is the fire truck's going to be your only debt. So that $42,000 for 10, 15 years is how you're going to pay for your $550,000 fire truck. It's really the water system that has loaded all the debt on and is loading it on. And you can see that it's going to grow into 18, once the bond is sold, it's going to be in the mid to lower fours. Okay? So I'm just giving you this insight into what's coming, and as these votes to issue debt keep coming and coming, and that water has also got that restriction that's still hanging out there that we haven't sold any debt for that isn't an absolute, but it's safe to assume it's going to happen, so that's in there driving the water debt up as well. Right? So the budget we're going to seek to approve is the 331 this year, but it's going to quickly go up substantially in the next couple of years.
Just looking at some ratios.
I'd rather not. No. I don't do ratios real well, and I don't have anything in my head. So I agreed I'd meet with you. You want to get into ratios or something, I'd be happy to.
But no, that's something.
I want to get us through this document tonight, and then we can side off into the areas we want to cover.
Forget about ratios. What's our total debt going to look like compared to our income? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just told you I don't have your numbers in my head.
Yeah.
So any, you know, you want to do a quick ratio or asset ratios, any ratios you want to do, I can give you. Just got the balance sheet, right?
Yep.
There you go. You got an income statement in there. You got it's fiscal 14 audited at GAAP. So it's not very accurate as far as what we're doing here because it's going to be treating depreciation and everything else through that model. But you can answer your ratio questions. Just pull that up and look at it. So with the next page, 13, we're going to look at the benefits. And I also gave you a separate schedule of benefits.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about benefits is we're actually proposing about a 5% reduction, believe it or not, for benefits. And a lot of it has to do with personnel changes. One employee, longtime employee, family man, just came in one day and said, I don't want any insurance. It's gone. Okay, thank you very much. Several employees retired. No, don't do anything. Just say thank you very much. Another pair of employees, new hires, young people, don't want health insurance. On mom's insurance, because I'm not 26 yet. So we have two more employees, no more insurance. So believe it or not, we've actually experienced a reduction in the census. Not to say that it can't change, but the model you see starts you right up with the water employees, and you see the very first water employees only buying dental and life insurance. The second water employee is only buying dental and life insurance. The third water employee is a full boat. The fourth water employee is a full boat. And the last water employee is just buying life insurance. Now, if you pulled this model out from last year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Fire, you can see the model shows you whether they have dental. First fire employee has both dental and health. Some have life, some don't have life.
Can I interrupt for a second and ask a question about the life? Because the life insurance is a requirement of the contract. So have these people voluntarily said they don't want it, or?
Life insurance is... Also, you got to be healthy to get it. So some of them don't want to take the exam.
Okay. Thank you.
Some have failed the exam. So they have to wait a year. We have several new fire department employees who are still in there 1 year. Why they ever changed from the same as everybody else, when you come in, you get it. When you come to work for this employer. Except... In this one contract, somebody got smart and said, oh, we're going to wait a year, but you're going to have to pay 100%. Somebody said, okay, for $3.70 a month, I'll pay 100% and wait a year. So now they wait a year, then they have to take an exam. So some of them don't want to go through the hassle at the one-year anniversary. Some of them will hit it this year and probably buy it. But we have actually chased down every person, because when I do these models and I find these deficiencies, we fix them. So, and there were a lot of deficiencies in, in the schedule.
What you're telling me is a fire department employee can refuse the life insurance, and then they get killed in a fire.
It's a $5,000 minimum coverage. There's state law that covers them in a fire.
That's still good.
We don't insure them if they get killed in a fire. We don't. The state automatically deals with that. And the pension plan that we have deals with that. We don't carry life insurance for fire people. Right. Nobody. We don't carry life insurance for anybody. They buy it. We provide it. We give them the access. They can buy $5,000 of accidental death and dismemberment, and that's it. And that's by state law. Nothing to do with in the line of duty injuries. That's
Thank
what
you.
Chapter 32.
Yeah, but I get the same thing as a state retiree. Yeah.
So when we run these balances up, what this model shows you is that I have budgeted one extra life, one extra dental, and one extra full boat health. In the numbers that you see on the spreadsheet for that article, just in case a demographic changes. We have some potential retirements in the fire department, which would create a new employee. The old coverage would continue and would pick up new coverage. So the budget as it's built, if you look at that model, it shows you all the details. At the very bottom, it shows you that I'm carrying in excess of about $22,000. And it's enough to cover one life, one dental, and one family, best you can buy kind of health insurance. So that budget, even though it's down 4.7%, is good to go. Now, the last page is the stabilization fund, and that's been historically $25,000. And that's been building with no grand scheme of how to use it. So there's something on the magnitude of $500,000 and change in the stabilization fund. This perpetuates the continuous 25 in. If you think in terms of what you're going to do with that, it's specifically for capital purposes. And ambulances are more like a 7 to 10 year life on that vehicle. You bought an ambulance this year, we use free cash, and it's in the 250 range. So if you're going to replace that ambulance in 7 to 10 years, it's likely you're going to need to have $300,000 at the time, or you're going to have to issue debt. So it might be prudent to think in terms of bumping up the contribution to link it to the replacement of a big ticket item like an ambulance or like a fire truck. But anyway, that's where it's at right now. If you want to change that, we can change that as well. And that would be something that you would probably change as you get closer to balancing the equation to try to keep that 2.5 or keep that tax levy increase into that proper range. So that's the first blush through all but water and fire. And let me just go back to first fire with you.
Can I just ask a question? Stabilization fund, are there any general guidelines for a town this size or a budget this size, what the stabilization fund should look like?
No. The GFOA, the United States and Canada Government Finance Officers Association, they talk about fund balance. They don't care what you call it. In Massachusetts, we have all these fancy names. That is a fund balance reserved for capital appropriation, if you will. It requires a two-thirds vote to put money in, requires a two-thirds vote to take it out. Right? So it's not liquid as regular surplus. So we would count that as part of the overall reserves. We have undesignated fund balance, which is really the liquid equity of the corporation. There are other fund balances, but those are the two big ones. The general rule of thumb is that you should have at least 60 days of cash. So if your real operating budget is, let's say, $3.6
million,
then you would be looking at $300,000 a month, right? So you want $600,000 to have 2 months worth of, if the bills don't go out, the assessor doesn't assess, the bills don't go out, the cash flow dries up. If the cash flow dries up for 60 days, and we haven't got 2 months worth of, because we only get paid four times a year. So the general rule of thumb is the guidelines that we as a professional organization recommend to our leaders is at least 60 days of expenditures in fund balance. Mm. Right? You're well above that.
Okay.
Now, fire, I've taken the budget that they've developed and dropped it into your template. The one thing that is highlighted here is that all of the salary and wages, the salary and wages are up 3% over last year. And that's mostly step raises. The fire commissioners have amended the chief's budget by 3%. And then the second line, permanent full-time, we have 12. That's up 2.2%. That's just steps only. People who are getting steps from that are in the existing contract at the amounts that are in the existing contract. So the current contract, the fiscal 15 budget, is at the old contract rates. Yes. And it's extending. In fact, at the special meeting, we added $25,000 to continue the efforts to try to bring a deal to the table. So if the contract isn't settled and funded in 15 and is becoming less likely than it is, then the 16 is going to have to pay back the 15 retros plus carry the second year of the contract in it. And the commissioners have not put anything in this budget to reflect either a 15 or a 16 salary adjustment. So clearly the 16 budget is, in theory, understated by whatever the second year of the contract requirement is, and the 15 budget is understated by whatever the first year of the contract negotiation is. And that's the way they presented it, so we're just going to keep it as a placeholder in the model for now. The rest of their budget is in the way they've presented it. Any of their notes that they added to their template are in your template, so you can review this at your leisure. The second page brings it to conclusion. As they've presented it to you right now, it's about 4.6% up over the prior year. The expense side is up about 10.5%, and the labor side is up 3%. And that's before adjustments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you take a look at the capital outlay, last year they had three articles. This year, and the third one was the 25 that was at the special. So they had two at the annual and one at the special last year. They've asked for 37 for a chief's vehicle and 550 for a truck. Now, the debt that I showed you assumed that the truck would be bonded, but I brought up the stabilization fund because there is enough in there, or there will be enough in there, to do the truck, presumably from the stabilization fund. So you can pay cash and drain down the stabilization fund for the truck. You could do some appropriation and authorize some level of debt. So that's going to be a decision, though, that we're probably going to have to hit the night of your meeting as well, because when we pull this all together, we'll see better what it's doing to the levy and what those future, if you can knock that future debt down, you can say, look, we saved, we'll buy the truck, and we'll commit to a $30,000 or $40,000 a year program to get a new ambulance going. Then what you've done is, I don't know what other trucks are in the queue. If there's a ladder truck, well, eventually they will, but you know, we never have had a full boat capital plan for the whole district that shows what everybody's got in the queue. Water gives a little bit every year, a little bit more for next year or the year after. Fire tells you what they want, but I've never seen any comprehensive capital plan. The building was bought out of the sky. There was no plan for that. So these are critical paths that need to be.
But if I'm reelected, I hope you will have a 5-year plan.
Okay. So these are the sort of push-shove areas that we're going to, you know, that's why we're doing this workshop. So in this case, the free cash will fund the truck, the chief's vehicle or whatever.
Okay.
And then I've just said stabilization, debt funding, lease funding. They even talked about leasing. Leasing's more expensive than doing a bond.
Yeah.
Because
it's
market rate,
yeah.
You know, and they're not, you know, they're not tied to the Fed funds or anything.
They didn't realize that.
No, no, of course not. So we can borrow at much lower rates than we can lease at. A 2 or 3 year police vehicle lease is a lot different than a 10 or 15 year. And then that truck goes out the door the day the lease ends, or you buy it. You better have another one ready. So it's all on the table. You're the advisory committee. We'll figure it out as we get closer. All right. So fire's in there. They'll presumably be at your next meeting. We'll have to kind of work through how we're going to pay for some of these big ticket items. And then we still got to address these 2 years of unsettled contracts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Is there some reason that they haven't included that the 15? The
general rule of thumb is they don't want to tip their hands. And the point that didn't get made before when you're saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you go up 8-9% for the library, it sends a signal to the employees that they should get 8 or 9% because it's not that much. So the reason that people try to be altruistic across the universe of the appropriations is because there's ramifications back into the employee ranks. So they don't want to show a number that's too high while they're at the table trying to negotiate something. So that's the general strategy. But it still has to be conversed. They still have to know that there's these unknowns out there and plan for that. So if you don't appropriate at this district meeting for those 2 contract year settlements sometime during 16, you're going to have a district meeting to do it, a special district meeting, which is okay. It just is another meeting, and you tell the district, well, we're raising your taxes to this, and once we set the tax rate, there's no more votes from the levy.
Yeah.
It's got to come out of surpluses. So we have to be careful how much we close out this year within our surplus as well. Right. So, water. Same thing with water. That's page 7 of 14. Water generally gives you everything at the front end. Now, this year, for some reason, they hedged on salary and wages. Nothing. When they presented their water the night they were here on the mandated bringing the budget night, they didn't put any salary and wages in because they weren't sure what they wanted to do. I don't think the chairman was very clear. So what I did just to get something in so that we can see the bigger picture is I took what the individuals are earning now and calculated it and assumed a 2.5% adjustment to the current year's wages, just to get a number in there. They had given us what we call overtime, which is their on-call. Okay, but for unknown reasons, they showed up kind of short on that. And it's a substantial amount of money. But the bottom side of that, the expenses, are as they presented it with their footnotes in the right-hand column. So still have to hammer out a final salary and wage budget with the water commissioners at your meeting that's pending because they haven't come forward with what they want to recommend to you. But at least you can see, and that's why I say the front page rolls out of all these back pages. So what I'm trying to do is get you to a good vision of overall what's going on. And in this case, I've uploaded a little bit of extra in there just to get it into the model. I'm sorry? Okay. Well, I always link that language to the same levy. I'm always targeting the levy not to go up more than 2.5, so I never like to see any budgets going up more than 2.5, or at least trading one down for one up, because, you know, you can raise taxes into infinity and nobody can do anything except throw you out of office, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, now we have a water budget that presents with some estimated salary and wages.
Mm-hmm.
On the next page, 8 of 14, this is where we bring in the capital. And as you can see, their request this year is they want a truck for $30,000, and they want a water tank for $2.1 million. So they're requesting $2,130,000 of capital outlay, which is an enormous lift over last year because of that large tank. And then I boxed in so you can see the motion as it's framing up. But what I also wanted to do for you, because it hasn't been brought to bear in much conversation since I've been around, is I show you down at the bottom the actual operations costs for 13 and 14. I show you the budget for 15 and 16. I show you the capital costs, and then I've gone back and I show you what the actual annual debt costs were over in the debt budget. And so you can see that in 13, it actually cost you about $860,000 to operate the water. And the recap revenue we budgeted was $481,000. And it comes in pretty close to what we put on the recap. I haven't done deep, dark analysis, but it's good enough for what we're doing here. The following year, it boiled up over $900,000, and the debt grew, and I started doing a better revenue estimate because this is the first year that we had good numbers. So we went to 535, and that was the still a 41% taxes went into the water operation. The revenue that we budgeted for this year is 540. The budget we created this year was 1,120,000. So in the year we're in, we're currently subsidizing the water operation at about $580,000 with tax levy. And that's about 52%. Now, the one that we're looking at, based on the numbers I dropped in up above, and that's one reason why I did this, because I want to see what we're looking at, the small truck is the 30, and the debt cost that I have brought forward is just paying down notes. It's only 268. Those other figures I showed you ramping up into the fours are going to kick in a year or two. And we're, this year it looks like because we paid, used free cash last year for that $120,000 engineering for the tanks, so that was all subsidized by the tax base. That's what drove last year up to over 52. I think we're settling back down into that 40 to 45 range that we've been trending over the prior 2 years. So, again, it's just insight into your decision-making that at some point, and I have no idea how far ago in the past it was, rates might need to be changed to take some pressure off the tax levy. Okay. Rate changes need to be done in such a way that we can prove to the DOR that whatever we're estimating when we set the tax rate, we're actually going to collect. So normally, if you're going to bump up the estimate like we're doing 16, the rates would have to have been voted in 15 and in place on day one of 16. I'm not sure if that's doable, but I just want you to begin thinking in terms of the process when you talk to the water commissioners that if the district wants to continue just collecting $400,000 or $500,000 a year for water and putting it all in the levy, that's okay too. You can do that. But people tend to think that my water bill pays for my water expense. It's about half, maybe a little bit more. So that's what I wanted to show you in water. So at this point, we've covered everything that's in your package. You've got a pretty good insight into where things are still in flux. The fire folks will be in to see you on your regular monthly meeting. The water folks will be in to see you. We'll have to put the warrant to bed that night. We know we have these number of articles. Petition articles could show up still.
Yeah.
Although most petition articles generally don't have money associated with them. Last year we had one of those as well. So I think you're in pretty good shape. You can see that we're tracking in the $6.6 million voting range. We're tracking in the 2.5% to 3% tax increase. There's some things we need to decide about resources for big ticket items. How do you want to pay for the truck, the big truck? And, you know, how much more debt is behind what we already know. Those are about the biggest ticket items and challenges.
What did you say the amount of roughly in stabilization?
I think it's about $500,000. I had it for the meeting, so let me just check. I'll update all this to the meeting we're going to go to. We had $589 at the close of business on December 14. Call it $590. All right? So you could do the whole truck. There's a CD that's earning. And we're going to put another 25 in. So you would still have 125 or more, because there's 40 in there above the 550 plus the 25. So you'd be in the 60s. So you'd be building, you'd have 100 towards your next big ticket item. So it may be prudent, as opposed to letting that debt go up like it's going to go up, to not do the debt on the truck. You just used free cash for the ambulance this year. Free cash is trimming down. I've got overlay surplus. It's an available fund of about $192,000 that we certified with the assessors. It's going to close to free cash, so that's going to give us a nice start for free cash next year. So these would be, I'll prepare some more detail of what's available for you for your next meeting, and I'll try to give you some guidance. I think I'm leaning towards stabilization for the truck, get that future debt down a little bit, and it might allow us to even spread it out a little bit longer and stabilize that, especially if there's no more in the queue for a few years.
How much would you use out of stabilization for the truck?
I take the 550 and buy the truck with it.
But you said the recommendation is we should have two rolling months in stabilization fund to cover.
No. Stabilization fund is only one of a number of fund balances, I said.
Mm-hmm.
Stabilization and undesignated fund balance are what we call free cash in Massachusetts. Right? So, and quite frankly, I don't think a stabilization is a place to pay your operating bills. That's why it's a two-thirds vote. It's not there for a rainy day fund, and it's locked up in a CD. It's not liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking about what is the normal reserve. It's 60 days of cash flow, 2 months. And so that's what would normally be in free cash if you're going to live up to that. Most cities and towns have 5 to 10% because they don't want to save that kind of money. They want to give libraries money. So everybody wants to give their favorite, but they don't want to give their non-favorite, but they want to save, but they don't want to save to the limits we recommend. So I'm thinking right now, unless somebody convinces me otherwise, the stabilization fund is right there where the truck is, and it takes $550 off the debt schedule. It leaves some money in the fund, a new contribution maybe gets up, and I would direct that to make sure there was enough to buy the next ambulance from the stabilization fund. And then we're allowed under state law to have specific stabilization funds, so the district could actually create an ambulance stabilization fund.
We have one once upon a time.
May have, but if you did, then there's a documented vote by the district that says it's still there. But regardless, we could do it the right way, and you could say $300 a year for a 30 a year for 7 years is $210, and 40 years $280, and then you know that every year you have a taxpayer equity issue when you do these save ups, and all these taxpayers have contributed to it, and then you don't use it, you just sit on it. And so you got taxpayers in this generation paying taxes to bank money that some future generation is going to have a field day with. So I believe that when you've got 550 and you need 550, it's magic. It works. It leaves you 30 or 40, put another 25 in, and then you build a fund balance for another ambulance 7 years down the line. So free cash needs to be protected for cash flow purposes more than stabilization does.
Okay.
Right. So I'm thinking, you pay for the truck out of that. It reduces that impact of that debt going forward, so your levy is softer. And interest rates aren't going to go up very fast, so it's a good time to be selling debt and getting it. So if there's any more to come, people should probably say, I need it now and get it done so that you can sell it at this low rates, because rates are going to start ticking up.
Yeah. Do we have more than one bond outstanding?
No, nope, just one.
Just one? When's the last time we refinanced that?
It's never been refunded. It was issued only 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah.
So it's market rate. You're not going to get a refunding. It'll cost you more in issuance costs.
Okay.
So, no, there's no incentive to refund that particular piece of debt. Refunding was a game we played, you know, 5-6 years ago and even longer.
Yeah.
But not happening now.
The other question I would have is, one of the statements you made is you wouldn't want to go out and bond something today when we don't know exactly what the final cost would
be. We use notes. So the district's going to authorize $2.1 million to tear down two tanks and build a tank. They're going to let three contracts and probably a couple of engineering contracts. So they'll have an engineering contract and a teardown. They'll have an engineering contract and a build, and they'll have an engineering contract and a teardown. Those six contracts will boil up to some amount. Can't be more than 2.1, but they might come in at 1.75, might come in at 1.8. So I'm not going to go out and borrow 2.1 to find out I'm sitting on $300,000, because then I have what's called arbitrage rebate, because now I've got borrowed proceeds in a tax-free market, and I'm investing in the market. So I have to give all the income I earn on that to the IRS. So we avoid that by taking notes as we construct, button up construction, punch list is done, we know exactly what we need to borrow, and that's what we sell the bond for, and we pay off the notes.
Thank you for verifying that.
All right, so, go ahead.
Insurance.
In your fire department budget, on page 6 of 14, about just above the total fiscal year budget, you're going to see insurance, property, and liability. You're going to see insurance, vehicles. You're going to see insurance, accident and sickness, and umbrella. There's three lines in the fire department. They've put in 30, 39, 8, and 6,000. No, I'm sorry, 12,000. That's where the coverage for the fire department's vehicles, the accident and sickness, and the buildings and liability are there. That also covers the bond you asked about earlier. That's in there. Workers' comp, you're going to find on water, because fire doesn't really do workers' comp. They do accident and health. So that's part of our insurance plan. If you go to water, page 7 of 14, near the bottom of their litany of lists, you got insurance, property, and liability of $56,000. Vehicles of $5,300 and workers' comp of $87,000. Now, the workers' comp for you three folks, that's in the water department. The workers' comp for the gentleman that cleans this building. It's the only place we have workers' comp coverage. And when I first got here, you didn't have workers' comp, nor did the custodian. No officials did. Nor did the female employee in the fire department that does clerical work. Nor did any of the females that worked in the accounting office had workers' comp coverage. So we had a workers' comp. I made sure that at least everybody's payroll was included in the audit, and everybody's fully covered. So you have this mismatch. Everybody's running around with insurance money. I think the brokers, and then we have the insurance and the electric lights we also talked about. So there is, I believe, an economy of scale that could be accumulated by putting insurance in one place in the admin and procuring a package of coverage for all of the district's buildings, all of the district's vehicles, all of the district's liability, and all of the district's workers' comp.
It has been discussed in the past, and they would never buy it.
They be?
Fire and water.
Well, again, you go to the district meeting, you recommend your budget. If they want to take your budget apart and make it their budgets, then that's what the attendees are there for. But I'm just suggesting that I don't believe that I have found risk exposure in that there were literally a dozen or more people who were not insured for workers' comp because water only worries about water. And the only place I can find a workers' comp appropriation is in water. So maybe we should put a second workers' comp policy and buy two, because every policy you buy has an admin cost in the front end, and then it has its coverage component. So I just believe that the district can't do worse than what it's doing by consolidating. Okay?
Yeah.
But, again, it's your call.
I was for it, and they discussed it before.
Okay.
But I was surprised, and
you can take that up. So at your meeting, when you review with these two departments their budgets, you can have the conversation. The models are all built to take them from one, put them in another, leave them where they are. Makes no difference to me. But I think you can do a better job making sure that you don't have exposure for uninsured risks and save some money.
Yeah.
But that would be require one comprehensive request for coverage. And I believe a lot of them use the same, to the best of my knowledge, MICOC or VIS are the only two places that the district has any purchasing of insurance. And I still quite have, frankly, haven't figured out where, what is, but I think this building is separate with MICOC. The streetlights are with MICOC. And then I lose it after that.
Apparently VIS wouldn't insure this building.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that
somebody else won't.
If they're not going to insure this building, then maybe somebody will, and they'll also insure the fire department, and it might be cheaper.
Yeah, right.
Because they're a bigger, bolder company, and if they're willing to take this risk on, then they sure is going to take on a fire station for fire coverage. I mean, how much does it cost? What's their loss potential? You know, the fire station going to burn down.
So how do we go about?
Well, I think you take it up with your fellow boards on your review night. It's 2 weeks out, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you can hash it out amongst yourselves. You're going to recommend a fire budget. It's going to be in your book, in this package, to the district at the meeting. If you disagree with them, then they will try to amend your recommendation, because you're going to move the budget. Well, normally you let them move it, but if they're adverse to it, you're the recommending body. You would recommend a budget that would be consolidated if that's what you want. But it shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, either they're with it and you do it, or they're not and you don't, and you move on. But it will be that night. You're not going to do it tonight.
Yeah, right.
You're going to give them a conversation about it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. So that's your insurance dilemma, is where do you put it, who manages it, and how does it get shopped? And if you all go out together for three pieces in three separate budgets, it just seems a defeating of a consolidation would be, you know, we have VIS insurance for the sickness and accident in West Barnstable because it's volunteer fire insurance, and it's what we are. And accident and sickness is really the reimbursement for their 111F costs, because we self-insure for workers' comp in Massachusetts for public safety. So police and fire, we don't have workers' comp as a rule. They have an accident and sickness. The district gets some recovery, and that comes in as general revenue, miscellaneous revenue, when we're paying somebody who's out on an injured on duty. And we have Rogers and Gray for all the other coverage. They bid and they cover the buildings and the vehicles and the umbrella and everything else, the general liability. That's not to say that they wouldn't be interested in bidding here. And they wouldn't use necessarily VIS for the building. They would use whatever company they could get the best deal from for all the buildings. And you've got buildings on all the water properties. You got building out on 28. You got this building. You got the two buildings on High Street. I mean, there's a lot of physical locations at this point. I'm not even sure you got everything on the schedule. I've never sat down and ticked and tied all the properties to the insurance schedule, to be honest with you.
Can we talk them into consolidating the insurance? Could we get it all accomplished in time for the district meeting?
Oh, yeah. It'll be the way the budget gets. It's either going to be on
just take the amounts they have
in their budget and put them all together, and this goes down and that one goes up, and it's still a net the same. But then it's all in one place, and the district can try to achieve a better performance. And it starts with getting the quotes. And quite honestly, if it's going to be piecemealed, then we have to kind of chase our piece because we're not in control. I'm not even sure of the renewal dates on these. I think there's some July 1 renewal dates because I think we get this hurry, hurry, give us a check on July 1. So we'll deal with it after the budget's set in 2 weeks. But first you got to decide how it's going, what the approach is going to be.
Let me ask a question on the procedure. Since we're budgeting the money separately for fire and water for insurance, so we have a total number in the budget. So if we don't make the new estimates, new consolidation in time for the district meeting, can it happen after the district meeting? As long as you have the monies appropriated, it can happen anytime.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The package can be put together and the bids go out and you just pay in from, it's like a spider web. You got to make sure you got this piece to this piece to this piece to this.
So if it comes in equal or less, we're covered for the total insurance.
Yeah, we've never had a problem estimating total premiums.
Yeah.
It's not the problem estimating the premiums. I think that there's gains to be, because it's just, every year they just call the same guy and he says, oh, put it up 10%. And nobody says, well, gee, that seems like a lot. I'd rather give it to the library. You know, I'm not picking on them. I'm just pointing out that everybody has their favorite thing to do, and some people just want to call one phone number and say, "How much should I put in my budget?" And if they give you a number that's large enough, then they can tell you what their premium is after they've told you what the budget is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it should be the other way around.
At the library, I did go out to bid the general liability policy. We save $3,000 a year.
Cheers. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
There's plenty of competitive business
Absolutely,
out there
yeah.
for underwriting insurance. It's not like it's rocket science.
Yeah.
What kind of leverage do we have over the commissioners? The water
I don't think you have to worry in terms of leverage. I mean, most people are good and common sense will prevail. And either you take a chance and put it all in one place and try to do a good job. If it fails, then migrate back to the old model. I don't think it has to be a big deal. It's just food for thought. And it's something that it starts in this process if you're going to do anything to change it. You can't sort of change it once you've recommended the piecemeal approach again. But you're right. You can go out and bid it, and then next year you can come back and say, well, we bid it all out, and we paid it from all these lines, but now we want to just put it right here. Either. So I'm good if you're all set.
Okay.
I think you've got enough. You can look at your papers for a while and figure out what you like or don't like. If you have questions, you can email them to me. But I think we're in pretty good shape, and we know where the highlights and lowlights are, and it'll be important for the two commissions to come in and finalize those two big ticket budgets, and everything else within your domain seems to be in pretty good shape. And that's about it. And I have this new timeline draft.
I didn't leave
the old March date on it, but I'll issue another one the next time we get together for the back end. Nothing's changed. I'm not sure what day Charlie's going to post his warrant, but it'll be sometime after your meeting. And then I think everything else is pretty much the same. And Civic Association, 21 April, we're not going to have much more than what we've discussed here.
If they do it, then they really...
So we can talk in general. I mean, water will be... Water and fire go and represent their own, right?
Yes, right.
And so they can talk in general about what they... Because water hasn't given you even salaries yet, and fire has... I haven't put that date down. Do you want me to do that meeting, the 21st, or are you going to just cover it?
I think usually we just cover it.
Okay. No, they've always had me come.
Oh, they've had you come?
But I prefer not to be honest with you, because it's like, well, I can't answer questions because there's no answer. I would think that they would do the candidates first and the budget in May when everything's set to go and we can have a realistic discussion. Some lady last year was screaming, and it's like, hey, we're only halfway through our own deliberations. So we don't even have final budgets yet, so what are we supposed to tell them?
That's right. The Boy Scouts meet Monday night. Yeah.
They're downstairs.
So then I'll drop that date on my book and we can tentatively be there.
Okay.
If you want me there, don't want me there, just let me know.
Okay.
I can take it. I'm not asking for the assignment. I prefer not. Because, quite honestly, we just don't have much more than what we've got here. We will, after your 27th meeting, so that May meeting would be before, and it would be a robust warrant with all the recommendations. It would make sense that that would be the night they would do it.
So we should make that recommendation to the Civic Association when we meet, that they reverse those two.
Yep.
But you're not doing that this year.
No.
Because they've already set their dates and published their and this is what we tried to tell them last year as well. All right, so schedule's in good shape.
Yeah, right. So
the,
can we move on to the potholes?
Yeah. Did you want to decide this tonight? That you're going to do this at your next meeting, right? This
We'll do that, yeah. As long as it's all right that we wait for that.
That's fine. They don't care. Of course, they'd like the answer sooner. But.
Yeah. So I contacted 4 paving contractors. 2 didn't respond. Northern Paving, actually 3 didn't respond. Northern Paving, Allcape Paving, and Info Paving Cape. I got 2 responses. One was from Clover Paving. They're in Falmouth. Their cost to just do the apron was $2,800. I also got a bid from RJ and Nardone, who are in Dennis, and they would do $1,000 to repair the entrance. And they would bring it in 14 feet so that it's all connected. He also suggested there are 2 other problems. There's in the middle of the parking lot, there's another pothole. If you haven't noticed it. And the drain that's over here outside of this door doesn't drain because the level of the parking lot is lower than the drain. So he suggested we might want to adjust the drain cover as needed and reset it and pave around that. So that would be an extra $800 for a total of $1,800.
But he's doing all that for $1,000 less than the other guy.
He's doing more for $1,000. Yeah.
I've heard of this outfit before.
Yeah. So.
What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is to go with Mr. Nardone.
I make a motion that we accept the estimate from Mr. Nardone.
Did I second it?
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you. So we don't need to address the remote meeting policy. That's not going to be a concern any longer. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye. By the way, Amy, you are recording the meeting, right?